that if ever we're going to be quick, we'll try to use the few last minutes to deal with the outstanding minutes of our previous meeting and that report, because we do have the copies. SPMG was struggling to understand what's happening, whether it's select committee or portfolio committee, so it will be in order for us to do the... I'm Jomo Nyambi, I'm from Mpumalanga province. I'm the chairperson of the select committee. Then we go to my left.
Mokhovi Matume Humphrey from Limpopo, African National Congress. Tunga Matila from Gauteng, ANC.
John Gunda from the Northern Cape, ID.
Good morning, I'm Pam Benny from PMG.
Morning, I'm Sydney from committees.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members. My name is Dennis Bloom. I don't belong to any structure, but I am a COPE member.
Good morning, Chair and everybody. My name is Freddie Adams, permanent delegate of the Western Cape, representing and being deployed by the African National Congress.
Good morning, Chairperson, everybody. My name is Dirk Feldman, representing Gauteng, COPE member.
Morning. My name is Madima Tenda, committee secretary.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Advocate Lauda. I'm the legal advisor to the committee.
So you can't be in this room without us knowing. Well, I'm the one who knows that they are from Mpumalanga, so they are here in Cape Town. So go to the mic and introduce yourself, guys, for record purposes to know who's here. Go closer to the mic and say your name and say name. They are from Mpumalanga there.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Salmon Mashabana from Komazi Municipality.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Johnny Mashabane from Mpumalanga.
So some will understand that this week, starting from yesterday in Cape Town, you have all the people that were participating, the teams that were participating in Vodacom, representing all the provinces, they are playing playoffs here in Cape Town. So they are part of those that are here to support, they are part of the team that is playing here from Mpumalanga, that is intending to go to First Division if ever they are going to win the playoffs. They are playing Baroka, that beat Kaizer Chiefs and Swallows tomorrow. So the games are on here in Cape Town. Honorable members, we have this thing in front of us. Without wasting time, it was referred to us by the Honorable Chairperson of the House. We tried to deal with it, but there were some outstanding issues. Unfortunately, by that time, we had some challenges, so we could not finish everything. Fortunately, today, the researcher is here, Black Girl People are here, Salga is here, and I'll take this opportunity and give it to Honorable Fedman to do a little bit of a background and a presentation of what we have in front of us, so that as members we can be able to engage, and the sooner we're done with this one, the better, because it has been submitted some time ago, and without justifying, but you'll understand that we took a decision as a committee that we're not going to entertain any other issue without disposing the issue of Mofokeng and Mokoena. And that was the thing till we managed to conclude it. So, Honorable Friedman, members will note questions so that we can engage with this thing and be able to take it to its logical conclusion. I'll give it to Honorable Friedman.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I said in the first presentation, that this legislation's proposal is to amend the Local Government Municipality System Act 2000, number 32 of 2000. The main purpose of the main objectives of this proposal is to give the, in very short, is to give the NCOP a footing in the decision-making of the councillors. What actually triggered this was the riots and the toying and so the burning of municipal places and so on. The main thing is that the councillors, the ward committees or the ward members don't have access to the councillors, as we know. So the frustration boils up in the people, and what they do, they start rampaging, burning and fighting. As NCOP members, permanent delegates, it's our duty to do oversight in three spheres of government, which is national, provincial, and local. National and local, I think we are doing well, because we're constantly in contact with the two spheres. But local government, we don't play a very active role, and I just felt that not be the custodian of the ward councillors, but to partake in the process, especially where the IDPs are and the EPWs, and work with the people, give feedback for them, and be actually like the door through the community, from the community to the councillors and to the provincial executive. As we all know that the entropy is always at the tail of the story. That is when we are getting the Section 139. Before that, it's just business as usual. Nobody knows what is happening. As Honorable Matila last time tells that there are so many wards, like for instance, Gauteng is plus minus 400. How will we get the wards together and talk in one language? I mean, if we do homework, we can get the ward leaders, we can arrange a monthly meeting. We do have the access from Parliament for tickets and traveling and some accommodation. But the main purpose for this is to step in and to assist the communities to take the grievances, because most of the time the IDP doesn't speak to the needs of the people. And most of the time, the people are not informed. And most likely, the councillors are running away. So we, as permanent delegates of the province, I think we can really assist, be the door from the community through the ward committees, to the councillors, to province. As we all know that the MEC of local government must give us, province must give us every year, an annual report. I mean, only once did we communicate with the MEC. Why not, when we see the problem coming, be part of the process, the implementation of the IDPs and the EPWs? Why not be part of it? I mean, we went around this the last election promising people, we listened to their complaints, lighting, housing, electricity, and I think most of us didn't even know what the IDPs was of that specific municipality. So I just feel that be part of it from the start, to know what is happening and to follow up and to give feedback to the community and work with the community, to the councillors, to the province. We can really fulfill one of our mandates. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Feldman. We can now engage with the presentation. Honorable Matila. Can we check, is it possible for us to, just before we engage, we get the legal opinion around this amendment? So that when we engage, we will hear. Yeah. Advocate Roda, I think we have gone through the document. You can be able to break the ice and raise whatever. So let me give this opportunity to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Feldman, for the presentation. Let me just start to mention to the members of the committee that it is ultimately the members of this committee's decision and the chairperson's decision to proceed or not to proceed with this bill. But I do have a few concerns around the proposal. Firstly, I'm worried that in terms of Section 41, subsection 1G of the Constitution, that this proposal will seek to, it encroaches on the geographical jurisdiction of the municipal councils or of the municipalities at the local government level. That's the first concern. I'll read Section 41 to the members. Yeah, the page is page 25.
Yeah,
of the Constitution. I'll read it. All spheres of government and all organs of state within each sphere must exercise their powers and perform their functions in a manner that does not encroach on the geographical, functional, and institutional integrity of government in another sphere. I feel that somehow this will then encroach in terms of the legislature over into the executive function of the municipal, of the local government. Secondly, in terms of Section 139, firstly, let me just say that the oversight functions of the NCLP is rather limited. It only speaks to getting involved in situations where the provincial executive gets involved in a municipal council or in a municipality or local government. When national gets involved in a provincial executive. That's the extent of the powers of the oversight powers of the NCLP. So I think that if I could just have more clarity into where would this body that the member is proposing, where would it be situated? Inside the actual municipality, as part of that municipality that will advise, or would it be externally, like if, for example, like the parliamentary democracy officers? Because if you can have one of those, then there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that. I'm just worried that it will have financial implications then, which the member might have to look at, but that will come afterwards, should the committee then decide to proceed or not. But if it is a structure within the municipality, that I have concerns about the constitutionality of that.
Through you, Chairperson. Advocate, what I said was that it is a door to the councillors. It is like a custodian for the people. There's no financial implication. As I mentioned, we already get perks like tickets and traveling and so on. But as you know, as people on the ground, they don't have access to the executive or to the councillors. It is just amazing what I experienced during this election. As soon as you find out you're a member of parliament, they think you've got powers. And there is what I was thinking about, is to get in there. You don't interfere. You do your oversight. But the work committee is already a democratic institution. Why not strengthen them? That's what I'm trying to say. You can see I mentioned the word committees. It's really like the custodian people. As you know, most of our people building big walls around them. You don't see the councillors. And why not prevent the burning of the library when the permanent delegate can go in? I mean, we do almost every weekend we have to do constituency work. Why not get, say for instance, Gauteng at 400 wards, break it up, meet the leaders of the ward committees, get talk to the counselor. I mean, there's a tension. But the main thing is to make the NGOP visible to the ward committees. It is part of our function. That was the purpose. It's not to
sorry. The procedure is that now, let me give Advocate Rhoda to raise all the points that points of concern, and after that is then that we can get in, because we might find that we'll end up doing a repetition. Let's say maybe there's something that if ever we've got one, or maybe it's two or it's three, raise all the points of concern and where you seek clarity, and once we are done is then that members can get in, and then we're going to start engaging. Well, all of us were agreeing that we have to be efficient, effective, and do your oversight, assisting the local government. But the question is, how do you do it? Because at the end of the day, if you have to do it, you must make sure that you don't violate the very same constitution that is the supreme document that is guiding all of us. So raise all the points that you have, that you have noted. Then once we are done, is then that I'll open it to members to start engaging, so that we must not have a situation where we'll repeat ourselves.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just have one more further concern. I think the location in terms of the Act also might be a little problematic. I think we can locate it somewhere else other than performance management, because performance management is done by the municipality itself, because in terms of the Act, Section 38 says a municipality must establish a performance management system that is commensurate with its resources, best suited to its circumstances, and in line with priorities, objectives, indicators, and targets contained in its integrated development plan. I think the creation of such a body or monitoring tool or visibility of permanent delegates of the NCRP might be a little problematic in that specific section. I think we can, if it's something similar to a parliamentary democracy office where the NCRP, where the permanent delegates then has oversight or has visibility and access to the ward committees outside of the province management system in terms of the Act would then be good. And I think that in principle there's nothing wrong with wanting to establish a body that will have that oversight and might prevent even situations where a province or provincial executive might have to get involved in a community, because that will almost preempt the failure or the total lack of functioning of a local government. But inside the performance management, I mean, if a member is more than willing to come to our offices and we can discuss and then formulate a specific area in the Act, in the Municipal Systems Local Government Act, where we can then find a place where we're best suited. Thank you, Chairperson.
Are you done with all the concerns in terms of the proposal?
That's correct, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. We can engage as members. Gunda, then we'll follow Martin.
Chair, thank you for this opportunity. I totally understand what the advocate is saying. It is true that we need to strengthen local government to be more of a watchdog, but according to what they've just now said, it will be better for us to have that democracy, like Parliament Democracy Office, than to strengthen maybe the ward committees where we are not interfering with the Constitution. And as he has just said, it will be good for them to sit with the member as a legal team and to see where they can place this thing so that everybody can benefit. But it will really be, even for me, for anyone here, we need to amend the Constitution if we want, as permanent delegates, to have a say to go into local government ourselves. And I don't think any member of us here have the time on a weekend to go and see. We will never be doing justice to ourselves. So I think it will be a good thing if Honorable Feldman can sit with the legal team, they discuss this thing, as the advocate has just said, and they can put it somewhere where there is no constitutional amendments and all that, so that we can have the ward committees or whoever or the Democracy Advisory Committee, whatever they're going to call it, will have as doing it as a watchdog. Thank you, Chair. Thanks.
Honorable Matila?
Chair, I think I agree. But you see, the other point that I think needs to be raised is presently we have what we call constituency offices. And generally, every Monday, I mean, for example, every Monday when I'm in my constituency, I meet with all local councillors. I meet with all CDWs, you know, because we discuss some of these issues. Twice a month, we meet with the ward committees. I mean, I've got 16 wards. Now, we meet with those ward committees to check as to what is happening. I'm just checking as to what would be the difference, you see, between what is happening now, because there's no interference with the constitution, also with the municipalities' rights. That is the first thing. The second area, parliamentarians in Swan, once every third month, you know, we meet all of us at for the entire Swan, with we will get briefings from, you know, the for example, the chief whip will say of the local municipality will say, this is what is happening, this is where we are, these are the challenges, these are the issues. How do you assist to deal with specific problems in those respective fields? I'm just checking as to what will be the difference between what we have now, you know, and with what is being proposed to go into the law, because with the concerns that has been raised. But I agree with Member Gunda that maybe for yourselves and the legal team to sit, look at what can be done, because what we must also avoid is overstretching ourselves. We must also avoid that. You see. And I'm just saying that because already there are specific processes that we're undertaking. Yeah? And if we bring more on top, I'm just saying when you look at this, if you can take that into consideration too, you see, so that we are able to we're able to make sure that everybody does his job at whatever level, you know, the different spheres of government, in terms of our responsibilities, you know, we do that. And that's what I thought, you know, I need to raise. But I agree that maybe if you sit down, you look at that entire situation, but take into consideration what I've also raised now about what we are doing at present. It might be that other political parties, you know, are not doing exactly what we are doing. It might be, you see. We might be doing it because, and that is the situation. But depending on where your constituency is, because you must have a constituency office, it is easy for you to deal with that situation because it is within the local municipality down there, you see. And I'm just saying that might be the difference, you see.
Before giving it to... let me give you this opportunity to you, Honorable Adams. I'll come back to you.
Chair, no, thank you. Chair, now, you know, the Constitution says that SAUGA has got a sitting right in the NCOP. They can talk, they can, but they can't vote. They may not vote. So, doesn't that already give the NCOP certain leeway in terms of interacting with local government? I mean, as a member of the NCOP, I can call SAUGA offices, which is a local, it's the localized South African local government structure. It's a structure. It's been mentioned in the Constitution. So aren't we duplicating? I'm just asking the question, or I'm raising the question. I'm hearing what the advocate says. But, you know, also the Constitution in Section 41 says that it should be if we look at further, in fostering friendly relations, assisting and supporting one another. You understand? So, and also informing one another of and consulting one another on matters of common interest. Isn't this a type of a stampede to stamp down or to infringe on the same rights as set out in the Constitution? Mustn't we strive as a House of Parliament that is conferred or that is being prescribed in this Constitution, try and foster those relations as set out in Chapter 3, Section 41 of the Constitution. Shouldn't we seek that, Chair? Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Mugobe.
Chair, thank you very much for the space. I think that there are several things that we need to note going forward, because the issue that the presentation of the petitioner has been presented in the committee. But going forward, as we engage, I think the petitioner also needs to understand the views of other members going forward. One, I think we need to note that there will be provincial and local government review towards 2014. And amongst that, there is a talk of review of what committee systems. In that context, I would suggest if we go forward to get the department, to get Saraga and also to present in this view in context of what is in the process. So that the petition committee should not amend now, tomorrow amend, the other day amend. Not even the petition committee, the other committees that are dealing with local government. Find out the petition does this, and the other committee next week comes with the very same thing. But the only thing to synergize it is to get an understanding from the department, from the SALGA. That's my first point. The other issue is that currently there is this what committee system. And we need to avoid moving from particular to general, taking a decision from a particular to general. That would be my fear, because we need to make a research as to whether what is echoed here is a common challenge. Because you would have different approaches in different provinces, and of course we represent provinces. I may say, in our constituency, we see a working relation between the current system of ward committees, council, and PCO. And then if that is stable, what would be the impact of the suggested bill? I think that's another thing. Over and above the constitutional concern that has been said, which are very much legitimate. The other issue that I don't know whether in all provinces, in our province, there is a provincial ward committee forum, which is convened by the speaker. It's convened by the speakers at district level, but as go to the province, the speaker of the legislature is part in that forum. That's why there is a very, a legitimate input of review in terms of funding, in terms of role, and so on and so on. In, I don't know other provinces whether that approach is being taken, because it's like, because of lack of regulation or within the context of cooperative governance in IGR, this is what is happening. The other issue is that, as the advocate said, the way I heard it at the beginning, in South Africa we have separation of powers. Legislature, executive, and judiciary. Legislature doesn't implement. If I heard it correctly, that we need to implement whatever together. Legislature does oversight, which means that we need to know that part of it, and we need to do that oversight. But at the same time, there is nothing that prevents Parliament to visit what committees. As part of oversight, we can, just like we go to municipalities, we can visit all what committees, depending on time and space, and strengthen them if we need to strengthen them, if we think that they are not doing their work now.
nothing is preventing the parliament to do that for now. I think that's where we need to move from. The other issue is the issue of, in my view, this is my suspicion, that suppose we agree with that, and a question of location is very much crucial. We have two tier systems at that level. Are we not creating a central system, which then is going to overburden the state, in my view, with resources, politics, dynamics, whatever. Because you would have district, you would have local, you would have legal, United World Committee. Then you need to go deeper and say, legally, how is it going to be constituted? Now it's elected proportional, but how is it going to be funded? And currently, the experience is that ward councillors in some provinces become the chairs of ward committees. In most cases, in that context, is there no way in which maybe we can move in terms of strengthening, or then make a research so that when we take a decision, indeed we are informed of the circumstances generally, instead of moving from particular to general? Thank you, Chair.
I think all of us were in agreement that there is a challenge on the ground. But it remains a question that how are we going to be able to be efficient and effective as public representatives, as members of parliament, in doing our work. So we are at the same time raising it that to come with an act, we must be extra careful that we are not violating the constitution. But there is a general consensus that the department, SALGA, and the process that we are talking about, that we are aware of, that there is going to be that review, and the advocate to come in and see that how do we make sure that we assist the process and come with something that is not going to violate the constitution, but it's going to make us to do our work in a very efficient manner. Honorable Ferdman, part of the rules of this committee is that in any day, if your phone is going to ring, then all of us are yours in terms of lunch. So because that happened in this meeting, so you can now call your secretary to prepare the lunch for all of us. And if we feel that we want to invite even our partners and friends, they will come and join us. So we're all yours this afternoon. Honorable Fitman, let me give you this opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you for the members for the input. Well, it's positive. We all know that we have a constitutional mandate to serve our people. And it is our duty to service the grassroots. That is where the problem lies. And I want to thank you, the committee, that it is not shut down. It's still open for discussion. I know we will get to a point that we all will be satisfied. The main thing is not Feldman's proposal. Just get that right. Because when we are in the House, as NCOP, we are not political parties. We are a unit. And what Andrew Matila was saying, if the ANC do their own things, we can. Let it be, as long as it's in the interest of the people. As long as it is in the interest of the people. Unfortunately, I will have chat on this, on the Mabatila, to see the minutes and so on, because I need to be part of it as well, as a permanent member of Gauteng. But, Chairperson, as far as the lunch is concerned, it's, next week is the 15th. So I humbly request extension until next week.
Honourable Adams, thank you, Chair. I think that on one point, if we do give an extension until next week, then it takes us to supper. And that is at the Taj Mahal or Pigali. Chair, no, I hear what Honourable Feldman is saying, but he says it's not Feldman's petition. Whose petition is it then, if it's not Feldman's petition? Is there a sinister force? Is there a third force? Is there other motive? Because in terms of the brief that we got, it is said here that the petition was in the name of Feldman. It's not a provincial petition. Because as NCOP reps, we can bring in provincial petitions as well. So,
chairing till further notice.
Yeah, and it says here, I mean, dear Honourable Feldman, I acknowledge receipt of your memorandum dated 29th October in respect of the above mentioned issue. We will ensure that your correspondence is referred to the Select Committee on Members.
Adam,
let
me deal with that.
I don't want us here to deal with
let me deal with that.
Lakota or the lower petition. Just guys, you understand, sir?
No, let me deal with that. This petition is from Honorable Feldman, but he was saying it is not his petition in the context that once we're going to have it in the House, all of us, irrespective of political affiliation, must have that sense of ownership and take responsibility, because it's about people on the ground, and the people on the ground, they don't care whether we are ANC, whether we are DA, whether we are COPE. So, but the sponsor is Honorable Feldman, not the disguise of that man. Let me give it to Advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I could assist Honourable Member Adams over there. Rule 147 of the NCOP rules, well, the latest version, says a political party represented in the council that is not represented in the committee may designate a council member to attend, to speak in the committee, but that council may not vote. Basically one can assume from that it's a It'll be a political party mandate from that specific province. Will then designate also that specific member.
This one is very clear. The way forward, Salga, before we round off this one, do you have anything to raise? Okay, no, it's fine. Then Salga, the department, and the legal unit is going to be part of the process in assisting. Yeah, I'm referring to that. Yes.
Okay,
thanks. We're referring to COGTA, but the department will present the holistic view in terms of the whole process of the reviewer that will be taking place. Honorable Feldman, thanks for coming and clarifying us. Very sorry that it seems as if it's taking long, but it's how we work as a committee. We don't want just to leave things hanging. And if ever we feel that there are issues to be clarified, imagine if I decided to explain to legal people what you presented the last time you were part of this committee. Then I was going to distort you, and the fruitful engagement that prevailed this morning was not going to be possible.
So thanks for being kind and understanding. But if ever we made that request, that kindly avail yourself so that you can speak to what we have in front of us. Thanks. Now we, as I, okay, Feldman.
Thanks, Chair. Before I excuse myself, I want to set a record straight. We look at the 15 for the supple. Okay. thank you, Chair. Okay.
Thank you. the honourable members, you'll understand that we have the report, the minutes. So we felt that. Yeah. Honourable members, let's try. I don't think we'll have much time. We have these minutes. You know that if we keep these minutes for quite some time, at times you have to attend minutes of that month, and once and for all, let's clear them. We'll start with the one of the 18th. Some of them, it was more of minor technicalities the last time they were presented, and we had to defer them. And some of the issues, we have even concluded them. Like you can see, this one is still. Even the very same thing of. You can see that towards the end, lunch. And we've sorted the one of Uma Khumalo after she decided that is going to deal direct with the president. And yeah, page one. What dealing with the minutes of the 18?
Sorry. This minute has been so long that. I would propose that because I can't go back to 2010. I would propose that we accept it in totality. I propose that we accept it in totality. Any corrections?
Then we go to the one of the 16th.
Again, proposed acceptance in totality. Is there any corrections or amendments with that?
Seconded by Matila. Then the one of the 23rd. Mohobi?
I propose like read.
Seconds.
Then the last one is the. Thanks. The last one. We're done with the minutes. The last one is. In terms of minutes, is the one of the 13th of April. I don't want to pile this thing now. I've learned the hard way. This one is the one when we had Mufuken and Mugwena appearing on the committee when we were in that room, and the meeting was attended by even the chairperson and the chief whip, if I'm not mistaken, is the one. Yeah.
Yeah, the 13th of April, yes, yes. After that victory when they were released on the 2nd. Matilda,
I'd like to move that we do the same with these minutes too. We accept them.
Seconding. Then the last part. Thanks. We're done with minutes. Now we don't have any outstanding minutes. We'll try to make sure that in future, when we, even though time is always against us, but we'll try to make sure that the report. Of the select committee, it was presented in that meeting, and there was a part that we had to deal with, and we had to attend to it. The report. Yeah, the study tour. Yeah. Study tour to the UK. The visit. No, it was an explanation in a meeting. Possibility of inviting some international experts to present the committee on how to establish an efficient e-petition system in South Africa will therefore have to be considered in future.
Chair?
Yeah.
Chairperson, no, to be quite honest with you, this report has been really been drafted up in detail, and there's not a single detail or what we have done has been left out of the report. So let me first congratulate the Secretary for doing such a wonderful job in detailing the report. And I think, Chair, our general findings as a committee was that we are, in terms of dealing with petitions, we are way ahead of the English system. But we lacked one thing, and that's the e-petition. And the general findings and conclusions, I think that's also been very well captured. So the once again, the Secretary and yourself needs to be congratulated on that. And I would propose that we accept this report.
Chair, I would want to concur with the member Adams, but also then indicate that I think there's some work that has to be done as far as paragraph one, but particularly the last sentence there, where he said it will help in a number of areas. I speed up service delivery. I'm not sure what.
But I
paragraph 1.
Yeah, since it will help in a number of areas, I speed up service delivery.
You speed up?
Yeah. Page just to 40. Page 40, the last page. The first paragraph on the findings and conclusions. The last sentence there, if it can just be worded correctly. Yeah, in speeding up service. Yeah, in speeding up service delivery. Yeah, but I agree, Chair. This. Honorable members, we are done with the agenda for today, and we have sorted the issue of the minutes and the report. And thanks for the support up to this far. I can just announce that you'll remember that in that issue of Mofokeng and Mokoena that we're able to resolve, the interest of writing a book, and Parliament indicated that the powers that be, they indicated that there is funding that can be available to have a book so that we can have a story to tell of the positive that has happened in this democratic South Africa. And we're working on it, but you'll understand the challenges of the powers that be at times. But we are very positive that they will report something once we can reflect about the good work, because you'll know that the number of books that has been written by former MPs, and I think I know of four or five, but all of them are reflecting very bad. You'll have the one by Gavin Woods, you have the other one by Abu Feinstein, by reflecting about the arms deal and all the other things, and we don't have books reflecting about the positive that is happening in this institution, so we have to tell that story. So we'll, when the time is okay, we can share the notes now in terms of the information of making sure that we conclude it. You know that we have this case now, that the recent one that we got in Joburg when we spent the week in Southern Sun, those guys. And you know, once we start with that one, we're not going to get the rest. We'll be up and down going to Joburg. And that man, when he was doing a presentation, he said, "I'm still, it's nothing compared to what has happened to them." And it's talking about billions of rands. And the unfortunate part and the painful part is that out of all the people that were robbed by that big company, more than half of those are no longer part of planet Earth. So they've died with the process. So once we start with it, we're disturbed by the elections. We're intending that we're going to seriously engage with them. And if we have to fly them, they'll come to Cape Town. You have to go to Joburg, we'll go there, and we are not going to leave any stone unturned. And we invite all relevant people, but we're still busy with all the research work so that in terms of the legal implications and all the other things, we are more than ready, because we don't want to start something along the way we got stuck because we're not ready. So prepare yourself. But as you'll quite understand that we are all chairing committees. So I don't want to start something not to have the support, because we have to have other committees having other engagements. So
So that is why it would be wise for us to have that tentative program that will prepare and do a presentation. And if ever it's in line with whatever that you'll be doing at that particular time, then all of us will be moving to Gauteng, even if it means camping there for a week and sort that thing once and for all. But generally, you have seen even yesterday, what we have done has been used as an example if it suits those people. So let's keep the good work up. And thanks. Waking up and attending an 8 o'clock meeting is not a child's play in Parliament, more especially if we have to use the bus. And now it's very cold, but we managed to do our work. So I officially declare this one closed. Thanks.
Fighting, but I'm coming.